Live from Stadium Swim at Circa, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
4 o'clock hour is here. Here is Circa Las Vegas. We're at Stadium Swim. Get into Circa Sports now, at least by September 7th at 2 o'clock. Circa Million, Circa Survivor, no rake, $16 million up for grabs. It's looking like the Circa Survivor is actually going to go beyond the $10 million prize pool, maybe head towards 12. Circa Million still with a way to go, but it doesn't matter. They're guaranteeing the $16 million. So Circa Million's great. You pick five games against the spread for all 18 weeks, and they've got quarterly prizes, year-ending, season-ending prizes. Cofield and Company's going to have an entry in that one. I've got us into that one. And then there's Circa Survivor. You pick straight up one winner a week. Oh, it's easy. Well, you can only use that team that week. You pick when you want to use the best teams, but if you use them all early, then it's going to get tougher as the season goes along. And if you survive all the way, this is a winner-take-all, and we're talking at least $10 million. It's Circa Survivor, Circa Million. You got to come into a Circa property, sign up, make sure you bring your ID. You get in, you pay the fee to get in, and then you got potentially season-long action with Circa Survivor. You're guaranteed season-long action picking in Circa Million. Danny's here. What's up, Danny?
What do you think would be more difficult, picking winners or picking losers in terms of Survivor?
I've never thought about it. Have you ever tried to pick losers?
I have not. I heard,
why don't you do a test run this year?
I heard this topic over the summer, and I sat there and I thought, I was like, it would be really hard because there's probably a handful of teams you don't want to bet against. So it'd be, those would almost be toss-outs unless they're really banged up.
Who are the teams you'd be afraid to bet against for upsets? So you need a loser.
Yes.
So you have to pick a top team to be a loser probably at least three times during the year.
Yep. I mean, 49ers are definitely one of them. Would you bet against Mahomes? I guess that depends.
You're on. Right. It's hard. It's hard to find the spot.
Yeah. So you kind of got to take advantage of big time injuries where normally you would. For a win, but this time for them to lose.
Danny Smythe is the company today. We're here at Cabana 7 at Stadium Swim back in the Finley Toyota Studios. It's Jared. Let's fire it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
There are certain things in my life, I don't stop them from happening, and I'm like, this is so easy to stop this. Why don't I do it? And for me, it's the daily emails from Nextdoor. I don't know what I did. I don't know how to unsubscribe. I think at least half of it is fake and posts that are put up by restaurants and security companies. And then there's the jabronis, if they're real people, who complain about their neighborhoods and are freaking out about stuff all the time. I don't want to see it. I don't even want to see the email description. I don't want to see it. Those are the kind of people you really don't even want to live near because they're just pure drama. Danny, you found a story where some people were complaining about something in a neighborhood and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah, there was a... So in Massachusetts, a little bit outside Boston, there was a kid about 12 years old. He was doing a fundraiser for his brother's hockey team. And I don't know about the team fully, but I know in this story it specifically mentions that his brother is autistic. I don't know if that has anything to do with the team, but they mentioned it in the story, so he wanted to raise money for the team. He started to sell homemade ice cream, kind of like a lemonade or bake sale stand, whatever, on the corner of the road. Apparently, people in the neighborhood were not happy and called the town and complained about it to get them shut down.
It got to the point where the Board of Health came in and said, hey, your fluffer nutter and chocolate, you can't just sell that without, you know, some sort of a official document. So, yeah, town officials got the complaint, like you said. Said violated the Massachusetts food code, and then all of a sudden this thing exploded so much that there were death threats going around.
And
let's do it. Let's do it.
And it backfired because the kid just wanted to raise about $1,000. He ended up raising $20,000. And the guy who runs the league said that they're going to be financially stable for the next decade.
So good. So good ending to people who wanted to be a little bit mean.
Absolutely.
Jerks. I don't think I ever did a lemonade stand or baked goods. I either I was too lazy or I didn't have the entrepreneur in me. Did you guys ever do that?
I did it for one summer, and that was because I moved into a brand new neighborhood, so there was still construction going. So we would, over summer, we would make lemonade every morning, and we would go out there and sell it to the construction guys throughout the day.
Nice. Yeah. Jared, when you were living in Missouri, did you just have, you set up out in front of your house and just bring out the burn barrel, and you're like, anything you want to burn, I'll do it right here. You got someone to get rid of. Let's go. Little 12-year-old Jared?
I mean, at one point, we definitely got a cooler and filled it full of my dad's Busch Light and sold it on the corner.
Wait, did you really?
Yes.
Well, so then you're in the same position with the health code violation. So warm Busch Light was your that's how you made your money. Wow, Missouri.
We had an outdoor fridge, and nobody was watching. And I like candy.
Please tell me that you were IDing people who tried to buy them.
I was 7. No.
Getting the little kids in the neighborhood drunk. Good for you, bro. Number 3.
Number 3.
Danny's tease on this one is awesome. He said apparently Paul Skeens is no longer a top 10 pitcher in the majors.
Yeah, so MLB Network put together their power ranking of the top 10 pitchers currently in major leagues, and Paul Skeens is nowhere to be seen on that list.
Okay, are you outraged by this?
I mean, I find it a little ridiculous.
You do?
Yeah, because I went back and looked.
Pitched like 2/3 of the season. I mean, he's on the cusp, but there's not like a guaranteed top 10 guy.
But this is why I'm outraged. I went back and looked. 2 weeks ago, they did a power ranking. He was number 4. 2 weeks before that, August 1st, they did a power ranking. He was number 1.
Right.
So you're telling me in the last 4 weeks, when he has gone two wins, one loss, and two no decisions, he's dropped from the number 1 pitcher in their power ranking to not in the top 10?
No, what I'm telling you is this is clickbait, and you got suckered.
Well,
they put him in when he was hot as a pistol to get conversation going, and they're probably like, hey, you know what, we got to drop Skeens out because we know one guy in Las Vegas who really is going to get pissed.
I think they're doing it because the bullpen got lit up yesterday.
It did get lit up. Scooble, Sale, Wheeler, Green, Framber Valdez. Wait, is this like for starts this week? And by the way, it is pitch. I misread it. I almost had the power pitcher stuck in my head. Blake Snell is. Now I'm doing it. Move on. Number 2.
Number 2.
You dirty sons of. We talked about Shohei Ohtani 2 days ago with Salerno. He got all mad because I said Ohtani is having a more impressive season than Aaron Judge. Judge on his way to, 65 home runs. Shohei, 50 homers, 50 steals. Shohei is such a big character in my home because I live with a Dodgers fan. The SO is a Dodgers fan. And I'll tell you what really got her going is we went out to an A's game in Oakland, Dodgers A's, about a month ago. And there are just some people at baseball games who just yell stuff. And you're like, okay, what are you doing and what are you saying? So every time Shohei came up, he was like, $1 billion bust! $1 billion bust! And every time he hits a home run, my girlfriend's like, $1 billion bust! She had like the most demonic laugh yesterday. She is so happy. And what pushed her over the top with Shohei is on, I don't know, do they have like a bark in the park? Shohei is not only going to do 50-50. If he wants to come back and pitch and strike out 175 in a season, he'll do that. If he wants to be a closer and record 25 saves, he can do that. He may lead the Dodgers to championships. He's going to be the best hitter in the National League as long as health remains to a certain level. You can add to a story like a sweet-looking dog that's all disciplined.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the ultimate moment.
That dog was great. He was able to perform like that under pressure in front of, I don't know, 40,000.
Do you think dogs... Jared can jump in on this. I like Danny because he says stuff.
The dog's just like he's, for the love of the game, he's like, lock the mechanism. All right, I got to get the crowd out of my head. I got to run straight to my owner when he gives me the signal.
Do dogs feel pressure, or do they just get scared blankless because there's 50,000 people with like a low buzz to a roar?
I think both. Okay. I think they feel pressure because I don't know about you, but I've seen like a dog need to do something at like one of those doggy boot camps where they're learning things, and then they look around and they see everybody and their tail starts wagging. They get excited and they don't know what to do anymore, even though you practice it 1,000 times.
I'm going to accept that, Jared. Do you accept that?
I mean, that's a better explanation than what he started off with. He got there. I will accept it.
What about my point, Danny, on Shohei versus Judge? Who's having a better season if they finish? One goes... I mean, I do have to throw in that 6'7", 282-pound slugger, Aaron Judge, is also potentially going to hit 330 with 65 home runs, or is 50-50 more impressive?
I got to give the nod to Aaron Judge. 50-50 is very impressive.
It's never been done.
But Ohtani...
Judge won't even break a record except his own AL record.
Yeah. But Judge plays in the field.
That is a big difference.
Yeah.
Ohtani's
seen five times a night.
Although, you know what? I think with David Ortiz, he appeared allegedly, was so hopped up on stuff, you know, and was still a great player until he was 40. I hope I didn't make the argument that he shouldn't win MVP because he was a DH. But he is an example of a guy. I mean, could he have played first base and played it kind of poorly? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Shohei can't play because they don't want to shred his arm trying to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll accept the fielding part of it. Number one.
Number one.
I didn't even know this. Let me start again. I didn't even know that's happened. I can't speak. That this happened. I don't really know that resumes are a thing anymore, but I guess in this oddly driven era when we've got people running for president, Kamala Harris, I guess, left McDonald's off a resume at some point. I don't know why that would happen. I don't know why it matters. Liar! Can't be believed. First, Danny, have you had a job where you were like, man, that's so embarrassing, I cannot put it on a resume?
No, I've had jobs that I've left off just because I didn't
work
there.
Why are you lying?
I didn't work there for long enough.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
They might ask about why you're so flitter fluttery.
Yep. If I don't work at a job for at least 3 months, I don't put it on a resume.
I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah. So,
is Danny a scumbag?
I mean, no, he's not. I mean, I like Danny. I don't think that's an indication of scumbaggery, but it's definitely like, there's a couple jobs that I purposely was like, I don't want people to know that I was associated with this particular group for a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, when I was a bar back at a bar off 35th and 8th, that at one point got raided several months later for certain activities. Yeah, right. I'm not putting that on my CV.
I remember Ari, who was over on Raider Nation Radio 920. I think he was saying he doesn't put his job when he was at a strip club in town as like a slot mopper. He wouldn't put that on what?
He was a pimp's assistant.
Isn't there a point where you're like, okay, this potential employer doesn't want to see 37 jobs deep?
Right.
Especially if you're someone like me, a little bit older.
Yeah.
Imagine if they asked you, you're like, well, this appears to be empty from age 13 to 16 and a half. Like,
those are great.
What was going on then? Like, okay, I didn't want to put down Cabana Boy at the Middletown Beach Club.
Chowder Slinger.
Well, I would absolutely put... That is one of my proudest jobs. Soup server at the track and eventually barbecue cook who sinned, basically like burnt off the hair about halfway on my arm, and then my eyelashes used to be singed on the end. It was kind of cool, kind of crunchy.
Would you put seasonal jobs on a resume?
I might, but guess what? We got to go to break. We'll answer that question. I hope I remember it. You remember it. On the way back, it's Cofield and Company.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Coming up on a halfway point of Cofield and Company. We're hanging out, Stadium Swim. You heard it. Jared's back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Danny from the morning show doing double duty today. Our text line is always open. We always read all the texts. We'll get to those in a couple of minutes. 702-364-1100. Make sure you tag ESPN on the text line. Always love your feedback. So we went to break. Danny, I think you took the topic too far. We were talking about jobs you wouldn't put on your resume. And then you said, would you put seasonal work on there? I mean, I don't know. I think now we're going too hardcore. The point was, and I really don't know much about the story, that Kamala Harris didn't put a job on her resume, I guess, for McDonald's gig. So, I don't know.
I mean, I've put seasonal jobs on mine back when I was in high school.
I mean, technically, my horse track, Monmouth Park, clam chowder soup job was a seasonal job. My egg delivery job, I used to deliver eggs.
Interesting.
That was a seasonal job.
Okay.
I feel like this job has just been one long season. I was told it was going to be a couple of months, and somehow I finagled myself into being around for a little longer. Just a little longer. So we open the show talking about some of the quarterback movements, some starters being named. And we talked about the Patriots and just the situation the Pats are in. I think all of us are enjoying this after Belichick dominance up until about 4 years ago. Brady, and I think Belichick and Ernie Adams and others, Caserio, did a pretty good job of managing the cap, acquiring players, keeping players at discounts. They were okay in the draft. Obviously, they were great in the draft early on to build this whole thing. They nailed Brady. That's the best pick ever. But the downfall of Belichick and his efficiency, and he and his dog, what was the dog's name, Nike?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, that tandem of the dog and Bill did not draft very well. And now the guys who were there, Jared Mayo, which, I mean, I can tell you, I think, I don't know if Danny knows what's going to happen, but I think Jared and I know what's going to happen. In New England, Jared Mayo will be the one who doesn't fall on the sword, but just gets, like, it's a prison, like, just stabbed over and over again. And unfortunately for him, I don't think there's anything you can do about it unless they actually committed to him, which he shouldn't have taken the job unless he had a 5-year agreement. But, you know, that's easy for me to say. I'm not a coach, and it's not my only opportunity potentially to be an NFL coach. But it's a bad situation there, and we'll see what they do. I think they're going to try to keep Drake May off the field for as long as possible. They're a couple of years away from having anything that even resembles a more complete team. It's a mess. And I said early that they need more than just Jacoby Brissett on the roster. They better start stockpiling guys who can get their heads knocked off. Now, you don't sell it to them. Like, hey, come in. You're going to get killed. But they need some backup quarterbacks to take snaps because I don't know that Brissett's going to make it. And I don't think Drake May should play to, like, game 10, 11, or 12. There are quarterbacks available. We saw the Browns keep 4 for a day or two. That happens a lot. Which, by the way, a lesson to everyone out there. The NFL is king, Danny. But everything day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute doesn't necessarily be... You can report on it, but it doesn't need a hot take or a strong reaction because right after the initial cuts, there's tons of movement.
Absolutely.
And nothing is absolute for about 5 days.
Yeah. And even still, we heard from Telesco yesterday, and he was asked what his initial thoughts were and if he liked the 53-man roster that they put together. And his reaction was basically, give me a couple weeks and see how we're doing. So, you know, clearly there's going to be movement.
Yeah, you get the idea. There's placeholders towards the bottom of the roster.
Right.
And they may get cut outright. They may get shifted to the practice squad. Also, don't fall in love with the practice squad because those guys could have a job for 2 weeks and then they find someone better or someone they got to bump down from the main. Raiders clearly have depth issues at cornerback. Mm-hmm. So this is still a work in progress. And they repeated it all most of the offseason that, you know, we'll see how this works out. Now they have an injury there. They're going to have to use the waiver wire and get some guys who either they develop, they could be around for the whole season, they could be around for 6 weeks. And it's not, there are always good players on the unemployment line temporarily. Sometimes it's just a squeeze of being a veteran, and it's a money deal. So I think the Raiders will find someone or some ones to add depth to that defensive backfield, but it's not going to get done in a day. And just like the Browns, right? The Browns 2 days ago had Watson, then Jameis, then Tyler Huntley, then Las Vegas local, DTR. It's already changed. So Huntley's out there. Did he get picked up already by someone? Can we check the very efficient Lotus now or LV Sports Network Sportswire? Because if I'm a team that needs a quarterback, and I think there's a bunch that need a 2 or a 3, he's either an upgrade for my 2 or he's a 3. If you didn't see it, and I just mentioned this because a move has been made. To me, this is like, I don't even know what you guys, whatever a high level of math and analytics is in college. I forget who told me the other day. Oh, one of my friends from back home was talking about one of his kids, who's got some advanced analytics and math degree, and right now he's playing professional baseball. I'm like, oh, he sounds smart. He's going to be okay. Like, I don't have that. So I don't know what this means. Deshaun Watson converted some of his base salary into a signing bonus, creates a bunch of cap space. So Browns have some flexibility. And we see this happen with all the quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they're all signed in this $40 to $60 million range, they got to be flexible. The organization has to be flexible. So the money stuff, I wouldn't even – folks out there you know, who are like, oh, this person's going to be the first $60 million guy or $65 million guy. What does it even mean? Okay, they're making market rate. But I don't know what restriction it has. Mm-hmm. Most teams have good capologists, so they'll figure it out.
Yeah, so I just looked. As of right now, I don't see anything about Huntley being signed. However, he is being linked to multiple teams, including Miami as well as Minnesota.
If I remember correctly, and I don't know who was on the press box at the time because you've both been on that show. Danny's here. Jared's here. I'm not going to directly quote him, but I thought there was a moment where your lead dog, Tyler, was trying to make a case that Tyler Huntley was not that far from Lamar Jackson.
Yep, that happened. That 100% happened. He tried to make that a, like, well, look at the drop-off. There's no drop-off. There is significant drop-off.
Hey, that's Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley.
Oh, yeah. All right. Fair enough. You're right. Sometimes Tyler gets the math right. Fair enough. Ridiculous.
Wow. You're still irked about that one, huh?
Yeah. It was one of the most incredulous things I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, hey, you know, that guy who looks like he can barely throw is the same as one of the most electric people we've seen since this side of Michael Vick.
One of the guys that we mentioned on the show the other day for potential help with the Raiders and their secondary, Xavien Howard from Miami. He's still a free agent. He's not young. He's only 30. He's 31, but it's not like he's approaching retirement. Reach out.
That could be a guy.
Yeah.
That could be a guy. I don't know if you could hear in the background, but we had a smattering of LSU Tiger fans screaming Go Tigers. So tomorrow they're doing the ultimate Tiger celebration here at Stadium Swim, 5 to 9. If you're an LSU fan, if you're a college football fan, come down. This is always a great party. I mean, if tomorrow's as nice as today, today's outrageous how nice it is. Sunny little breeze. It's gonna be crazy down here. Again, that's 5 to 9 at Stadium Swim. I think they're expecting at least, I'll be conservative because I think the number of RSVPs was higher, but they're expecting at least 800 to 1,000 LSU fans here. I don't want to misstate the fire code, but I think this place can hold, and I'm going to be conservative again, north of 3,500 people.
Okay.
So this could be a pretty fun party tomorrow. And then I know at least 5 places that are doing USC meetups. Hey, Jared, go through our commercial log. We never got this read. It's weird. They send us everything. But there is an advertiser. Before you give a free pop to someone who's not, there is someone who is doing a USC fans meetup. It might be in code in our commercial log, but I'd throw that out there. But I know there's a lot of USC parties.
On it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. There's a lot of USC parties in town, which, again, we'll bring up that investing the money in that stadium wasn't my favorite thing all time in terms of the actual number. I don't really believe the people who voted on it, the politicians at the time, the public servants, really knew what they were voting for.
No.
We were told there was going to be 52 events a year there. That would help pay for it and justify it. They've gone beyond 52. And I will point out, on that front, they are correct. They've booked the stadium, and they continue to bring cooler and cooler events. And John Cesenti with the LV Bowl is part of this, you know, the opening season game or some games during the season, the special game. So he's doing a great job. And these events bring monster tourists in the town. Mm-hmm. The game sold out. Now, we've had a couple of games where, you know, it didn't pop. But this one, they 1,000% nailed.
Well, I think this town is going to be so much fun over the course of the next 72 hours. It's going to be insane. And then, obviously, the game on Sunday is It's just going to be wild. This town's going to be painted with purple, two shades of gold, and some maroon.
Give me a guess at crowd split.
Just because of regional, I'm going to say 60-40 USC.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like 70-30 LSU.
You think so?
Yeah,
I think it's all purple stadium.
I think
stadium.
It's going to be crazy. Great ways to get out to the game. I mean, you can go, but it's sold out. You can win tickets over at Whiskey Stadium. I'm going to be out there 2 to 4 on Sunday. That's not when you can win them. You get out today, tomorrow, or Saturday. They're going to be drawing at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Whiskey Stadium is right across the street. If you don't make it out to the game, you don't make it out to our remote to pregame with us from 2 to 4. You can also watch this Sunday, 4:30 on ABC. It's the Trojans. It's the Tigers. It's the Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno. It's Cofield and Company.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Down here on the 143-foot screen, 143-foot screen, NC State just starting off. They're scoreless in that one. Yeah, week one's here. West Carolina is the opponent there. I'm not going to look at the big screen.
You don't want to.
It's 17-7.
No, it's good for you.
Rutgers supposed to blow out Howard. That would be expected. But here's the thing in week one, and it's going to happen all day today, and it's going to happen all day Saturday. I'll go with 20% of the FBS versus FCS matchups. We'll have an FBS team playing within 14 points and more than a few. That's ridiculous. They'll be, for the weekend, I'll go three or four outright upsets of FBS teams falling to FCS.
You said three or four. You got to pick one.
Let me look.
The number is 3.5.
Let me look. Because I went FBS, FBS. I mean, I bet it.
What'd you take?
And I actually think that they have a chance to win the game, and I've been saying it for 2 months.
North Dakota?
I've been predicting that North Dakota State could beat Colorado tonight. The money's coming in on Colorado. Good for you guys. I hope you cover. They're as high as minus 12 right now. But
wow.
I've said I think Colorado could come out of the gates winless for a few games, start the season like 2-5.
That line is skyrocketing.
Yeah, there's a 12 out there. It's mostly 11s, an 11.5. So,
I'm on.
Who's going to bet? I mean, what casual was going to bet North Dakota State?
Anyone who doesn't like Dion.
Okay, so that'd be the reason. That's not why I'm doing it. I respect North Dakota State. They have a new coach. I know they're pissed off about last year when they failed and made the semis of FCS and went 11-4. Their coach walked to USC. Now they have two experienced quarterbacks coming back. They've got a tradition. I think they've won. I got to look up the notes. I think they've won 6 straight matchups against FBS teams. One, not covered. One.
That's impressive.
Yeah. One that I would look for that could be close. Again, it's another quality FCS team, is that game against South Dakota State. I don't have a great read. Like, I think Okie State is going to have a good season. It's just, man, the I'm 40 guy who's now 60. He's a weird character. He's a good coach.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Right?
He doesn't want his players' agents to contact him anymore?
Well, they shouldn't be anyway.
What'd you hear about that?
Yeah. Well, they're not supposed to. Huh? Now, do I think he's talked with them over the years many times? Of course.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you already opened that Pandora's box by allowing it in the first place. And please don't tell me that there aren't a good number of coaches who deal directly with the agent. Right?
I'm sure
these
there
are. These are $6, $8, $10 million a year coaches or beyond. They have their fingerprints on every part of the program.
Right. And that might be the dumbest thing that they could possibly do. That's what a booster should be for, isn't it?
Yes, but if I'm running a program, I want to know everything that's going on.
Yeah, that's why you communicate through the booster.
You should have a good go-between in your program.
Yep.
Maybe not a booster. You should have someone who's handling that. Again, you're not supposed to. By the way, South Dakota State, that's an 11 a.m. kick our time. Getting 9.5. So it's about the same deal, close to it, as this North Dakota State game against Colorado. That's Saturday against Okie State. So I would look for one there. If I want to find more, I can find more.
I got Utah tonight. Minus 38 and a half.
Yeah, of course you do.
Southern Utah.
Will you take a plus 40 dog this weekend?
Maybe.
Out of principle, I will generally take the biggest dog of the weekend these first, like, 3 weekends. Just because I like doing that. I like to be down 44-0 at the half and then go, my lord, can I cover, can I get the plus 52 and a half when I'm already way in the hole? Listen, the guy who does this professionally, he's got all the bets in. He's got like 400-plus bets. He knows the FCS as well. Brad Powers, Brad Powers Sports, Brad Powers 7 on Twitter is on the way.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Let's get some leads and likes here in just a second. 364-1100, prize line. MGM Grand Garden Arena coming up this weekend. Nick Cannon's Wild and Out Tour live. That's on Sunday. MGM Grand Garden Arena. You can get your tickets at AXS.com. Caller 7-364-1100, 364-1100. Jared is going to hook you up. All right, week one. Thursday night football is underway. A lot of FCS action on the field, FCS versus FBS. And Brad Powers is the guy to lean on all season long. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's happening?
Are you on Howard plus against Rutgers?
No, I laid 34 and a half with your alma mater. So I'm not happy right now. I mean, come on. It's what you want to give me 4.5 points on every game the rest of the season?
I know. No, I didn't mean you made a bad bet. I'm more of my frustration, like, have a safer lead to close this thing out in the second half. But
the quarterback play is what we thought, atrocious. One of the scores, the defensive touchdown. Defense looks good, including the replacement for Toure, who was out for the year. So yep. There's that. Obviously, Manon guy looks good. But, man, the quarterback play is the thing preventing this team from, you know, being, maybe even an 8-win team. Now they're going to struggle to get to the bowl game.
Yeah, I don't like to make quick judgment. I mean, this is something we judged during the offseason. All right, well, we know North Dakota State is closer to, is a good distance from Howard, not just miles, but as a football program. We've been monitoring this game all offseason. Now we're seeing 11.5-12 on Colorado. Last-second advice for this Buffs-Bison game?
Yeah, you're probably too late to the party. I mean, we've seen an absolute massive move on the under today, in addition to Colorado going from like 9, 9.5 up to 11. But, I mean, the total has been dripped back down 6 points. You absolutely had to play it. I don't know. I think it's going to be a relatively slow start. Well, what I gave out to clients was under in the first half.
BradPowerSports.com is where you go. BradPower7 for all the information on plays and wins and losses and great news and notes. Was there any other FCS-related game that got posted? Because, you know, a lot of the numbers weren't up until recently. But any that got posted where you're like, oh, boy, you love the line one way or the other?
I made 22 bets tonight. So let's just say we're involved. I thought some stuff was 3-4 points off because that's what I need to make a bet, to be honest with you, this time of year on week one. So, you know, I thought quite a few things were off. I'll tell you, I'm always – people probably think I'm bragging about the lines that I get, but I'll give you a couple bad bets. UL Monroe, I laid 6.5. Looks like they may close as low as 4 in some spots. So that was a bad bet that I made. I didn't read the market right there.
What's your favorite bet of this week, week one college football?
that I'll be stressed on Saturday. That's a good question. Obviously, it's a unique week in the fact that these lines have been up for 3-4 months. Right now, A&M money line, I just don't see a pathway for Notre Dame to get the win with their offensive line shortcomings. And the fact that, you know, I looked at it, it wasn't just me, crying Chicken Little on Notre Dame football. They haven't won a game on the road as a 3-point or more underdog since 2012. They just quite simply do not win these games.
I feel like I looked at a lot of games, and there was sort of a healthy disrespect or a lack of respect for home teams. And I don't know that Florida should be favored, but Miami on the road as a favorite makes me nervous in Gatorland.
Yeah, I mean, I think both teams are much improved this year. They have to be if they're, you know, the seat is going to try to cool on both of the seats for the head coaches. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm more on the Florida side of things in this game. I'm just – know, obviously you always want to shop for the best number. Right now it's a juice 2.5, so that tells me that, you know, maybe we get a 3. Our friends up north in Peppermill have a 3 right now, so if you want to bet Florida, well, let's wait and get that all-important 3. I bet Florida in the game. It just, you know, screams to me that, you know, Miami and Cam Ward a little overrated as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, Billy Napier's on the hot seat, but I actually think he's a better coach than Cristobal.
On Sunday here in town, we have USC and LSU coming in, and right now LSU is -4.5. What are your thoughts on this game?
I'm waffling. I mean, this line came out 8 months ago. I originally bet LSU -6. I was just thinking that they'd address their issues in the on the defensive line, the transfer portal. They never did. So that, you know, I turned right around about a week ago and bet USC. And then, man, I just did a deep dive podcast late last night, and boy, just talking it out. That LSU offensive line against USC's defensive line, it's tough for me to overcome that. I think LSU, they can have their way, you know, running right at USC. So if I had to bet it now, I would be more inclined to lay it with LSU.
Any thoughts one way or the over on the total?
Yeah, I think the public's going to want to bet over because, I mean, these were the two highest-scoring teams in college football last year. But I think both defenses are improved. Obviously, both offenses probably, you know, are losing historically great quarterbacks. So what I'm going to do is sit back and wait for the public, because obviously it's going to be a very public game, standalone game on a Sunday night here in town. Let's see how high this goes. And I think near post, I'm going to be taking it under.
Brad Powers up on Cofield and Company, bradpowersports.com. Hit the website. Check out Twitter at BradPowers7. I know you saw this news, but earlier, SEC has approved mandatory injury reports for football, basketball, and baseball starting effective immediately. Football reports must be published on Wednesday. So what does this mean this season? And you and I have gone back and forth. I don't think we've debated it, but the value to you as a bettor of injury reports, and it's going to be interesting. I guess down the road, I guess we're going to get injury reports on one side in non-con situation. We'll get them from the SEC and might not get them from the other side.
Yeah, that's a good point there, at least for this season. It probably depends on the leeway they give the coaches, how strict they'll be, and, you know, is everybody day-to-day, like people right. like to say. That's how I'd be as a head coach if they allowed me to do it. I would not be very forthcoming. So, an opportunity maybe to take advantage of. I'd like to see. I'm anxious to see if there's an exact set time on Wednesday. Obviously, got to be in front of the screen. Is it going to be one release or is it an individual school release? I mean, there's a lot to sort through there, but I'm 50-50 on it. Yeah, I'd like to have some standardization for something like that. But then again, I like doing the work myself and uncovering certain injuries that a lot of people don't know about, whether it's a quarterback or cluster injury group, as far as a position. I don't mind doing the legwork and finding out stuff that the market might not know.
Any chance we're going to start getting hockey-type injury reports, players dealing with upper body or lower body?
Yeah, with the college kids and stuff like that, I'm sure that they won't be, you know, specific.
Million percent. Million percent, it'll never be specific. It'll be upper and low. They do it now. I mean, even when you can get the information, even when you can see, you know, specifically what the injury is, or they're not going to give you many more details.
Yeah. So, I have some high hopes for it, but again, I think it's going to be pretty. You know, I don't think it'll be specific. I'll just put it that way. So I don't know how much of an edge it'll be.
Well, let's get to Clemson, Georgia. We've been talking about this game for a long time. Clemson's getting 13.5, might go to 14 by game time. What do you think?
Nah, I don't know if it does go to 14. Okay. If it does, I think you'll see some buyback, because I thought it was a quiet move last Friday night on the screen that all the 14s got wiped out on Clemson. It just hasn't been a good fall camp news-wise for Georgia. They got cluster concerns at the running back position with injuries and suspension. One of their wide receivers has kicked off the team. Been quiet on Clemson's fall camp in a good way. Dabble does well in the underdog role. 12-1 is a 5-point or more underdog. I'm not a big trends guy, but when it's a rare underdog role for him, and in fact, it's the biggest underdog role for Clemson in any game in a decade, I'm tending to lean more on the Clemson side right now.
Brad Powers, up on Cofield and Company. Let's go rapid fire. I was just talking about certain games, looking for an FCS upset over the weekend. I'll get to that in a second. But first, Penn State, West Virginia, very hyped game.
Yeah, a lot of money on West Virginia all summer long. I'm part of the West Virginia money, but there was a double-digit sign next to the bet that I made, and I'm just wondering how low this goes. I would love to come back and bet even more on Penn State -7, but I'm not sure. I'm looking at the screen. It looks like we're starting to see some buyback already on Penn State. 8.5 is popping.
Okie State trying to hold off South Dakota State. Maybe they blow them out.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely know South Dakota State's still number one in my FCS power rings, but they're certainly not as good as what they've been the last couple of years. So I did downgrade them there. This line, believe it or not, was up at a book about 6 months ago. So I laid it with Oklahoma State. Right now, at the current numbers, I'd lean under.
Have you watched that Netflix Connor Stallions documentary yet?
I am not, believe it or not. I'm going to give you something you can make fun of me. I don't have Netflix.
Oh, no way.
I have an addictive personality. I can't have something where I start binge-watching stuff.
That's too much? Okay. What do you think of the Fresno State game in Michigan, +21?
First half under for me. I think, Michigan's quarterback situation isn't ideal, but I do still think Michigan's defense is top 10. Obviously, lose that outstanding play caller for Fresno State and Tedford. So first half under was one of my favorite plays of the week.
By the way, I respect you for not having Netflix, because I keep telling myself and my fiance, if that price keeps going, I'm going to cut it. I don't think I'll ever cut it.
You're embarrassing.
I know.
Sorry, Brad. I'll never have this guy talk to you again. This is beneath Cofield and Company standards. I apologize. I'm kidding. UCLA's in Hawaii. Hawaii didn't look great. I don't go crazy off of, week zero performances. What do we think of UCLA in general, and is this an opportunity where they go in and they can beat the doors off of the Rainbow Warriors?
Yeah, I don't either go crazy, but we've seen some crazy moves. We've seen the Nevada-Troy game move, almost a touchdown. We've seen the Florida State game at points move down 5-6 points. And yet, when I woke up Sunday morning, the Hawaii-UCLA line hadn't even moved. I guess nobody watched the game. You have to downgrade Hawaii. They were a 40-point favorite in the middle of the third quarter. It's a tie ball game, and it was legit. I mean, Hawaii's one of their scores at that time was a punt return touchdown. And Delaware State, it's not like they had short field touchdowns. They go length of field twice. So you had to downgrade them a point or so. And that's being super conservative. I ended up betting UCLA. I still would lean the Bruins -14.
We will not speak to you until next Thursday. So what do we do with the Monday game with Florida State, Boston College?
Yeah, I'm going to buy low on Florida State. Look, it was a horrific performance, to say the least, especially at the line of scrimmage. But I think they're already talking about personnel fixing. So what I thought was going to be kind of a flat spot no longer is a flat spot. You'll get the A-plus effort out of Florida State off the loss.
At Brad Powers 7, check that on the web at bradpowerssports.com. Brad, we appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. And I would tell you not to stress out, but I know who you are. So win some games this weekend. Win most of your games this weekend.
Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Brad Powers. This weekend, debut, it's back, throw the flag over at Treasure Island, 9 to 11 a.m. They're going to be talking football. What a concept. Football betting on college football Saturdays. Great game day guest, might be me, might be one of the other UNLV guys on the broadcast team, Matt Nevert, Caleb Herring. Breakfast items as well. They've got a robust breakfast menu, and guys, we got like 20 seconds, so Danny, take the floor. What else? We'll get people fired up. Come on, 9 to 11. You can watch it live. You can listen on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yep, and we're also going to be streaming on Twitch at LV Sports Radio, so you can watch us there. You can also come down, join us, and hang out with us. I'll be there after the game doing a watch party.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I will tell you my favorite breakfast items, the fresh fruit blend. Okay, I'm lying. But they do have it available. They have healthy options like granola parfait as well. The breakfast sandwich is number one at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.